Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians, also known as the Wadani. Soon after the tragic incident, Elizabeth took her 3-year-old daughter Valerie, and they lived among the same Indian tribe that had killed her husband. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, reading another story for children. This one is called The Sailor Man, and it's from Laura Richards' book, The Golden Windows. Once upon a time, two children came to the house of a sailor man who lived beside the salt sea. And they found the sailor man sitting in his doorway, knotting ropes. "How do you do?" asked the sailor man. "We are very well, thank you," said the children, who had learned manners. "And we hope you are the same. We heard that you had a boat, and we thought that perhaps you would take us out in her and teach us how to sail, for that is what we wish most to know." "All in good time," said the sailor man. "I am busy now, but by and by, when my work is done, I may perhaps take one of you, if you are ready to learn. Meantime, here are some ropes that need knotting. You might be doing that, since it has to be done." And he showed them how the knots should be tied, and went away and left them. When he was gone, the first child ran to the window and looked out. "There is the sea," he said. "The waves come up on the beach, almost to the door of the house. They run up all white like prancing horses, and then they go dragging back. Come and look." "I cannot," said the second child. "I am tying a knot." "Oh," cried the first child, "I see the boat. She's dancing like a lady at a ball. I never saw such a beauty. Come and look." "I cannot," said the second child. "I am tying a knot." "I shall have a delightful sail in that boat," said the first child. "I expect that the sailor man will take me because I am the eldest, and I know more about it. There was no need of my watching when he showed you the knots, because I knew how already." Just then the sailor man came in. "Well," he said, "my work is over. What have you been doing in the meantime?" "I have been looking at the boat," said the first child. "What a beauty she is. I shall have the best time in her that ever I had in my life." "I have been tying knots," said the second child. "Come then," said the sailor man, and he held out his hand to the second child. "I will take you out in the boat and teach you to sail her."
"But I am the eldest," cried the first child, "and I know a great deal more than she does."
"That may be," said the sailor man, "but a person must learn to tie a knot before he can sail a boat."
"But I have learned to tie a knot," cried the child. "I know all about it."
"How can I tell that?" asked the sailor man. That's the end of that story. What do you learn from that? Which child would you have been? Would you like to be the one who watched the waves coming up on the beach, running like white prancing horses, and then dragging back? I think that was the boy. I think the other one was probably his sister. And what was her answer when he tried to get his sister to come and look at the waves on the beach? What did she say? "I cannot. I am doing what?" "Tying a knot." And he went again, and he looked, and he saw the boat out there, and he said, "She's dancing like a lady at a ball. I never saw such a beauty. Come and look." And what did she say? "I cannot. I'm tying a knot." And then the boy bragged about the fact that he was going to be the one that would be chosen to go in the boat. Does this remind you of anything in the Bible? There's a verse in the Bible that says, "To obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken," or to listen, "is better than making an offering of the fat of rams." The sailor man had given the children a job to do, and he said he would take one of them out sailing. Remember that? And I can imagine that some children today would say, well, that's not fair. Was it not fair when he took the girl who had been tying the knots? I think it was very fair, and I think it was very important that he didn't take the boy. You know, sometimes older people feel sorry for children, and they don't want to make them feel bad. They don't want to damage their self-image. And so everybody gets all the rewards. I have actually heard of parties where every child got a prize. A prize for what? I can understand giving every child a gift at a party. But what is a prize supposed to mean? It's supposed to mean that you did the best. And everybody can't do the best, can they? But everybody can do the best that they can do. It may not be as good, it may not be done as well as another child's. Now, those of you that listened to the story about the golden windows, I told you that I might talk about what I think that story means. I think it's about being aware of the fact that the place where God has put you is a perfect place. It's a beautiful place. You remember the story was about a little boy who always saw the house on the hill far away with golden windows in the evening. And so when he had a holiday, he had the chance to go and visit that house, and when he got there, he found out that the windows were made of glass, not gold. And he was so disappointed. But the little girl that lived in the house told him that she knew where the house with the golden windows were, and she took him up on a hill, and she showed him a house, and guess what? It was his own house. A lesson that we always think that other people are lucky. She gets to do so-and-so. He gets to go here or there, the other place. He gets what I wish I had. He's got a new pair of rollerblades. He got a new coat for Christmas. I never get anything. Did you ever say to your father or mother, you never let us do anything? Well, if you have a father and a mother who love you, they're going to say no to some of the things you want to do because they love you. And they have chosen the best for you. God is our Father. He always chooses the best for us. Christians are people who look at everything from a different perspective from the world's way. What is a different perspective? Well, if you're down on the ground and you look up at your house, it looks very big, doesn't it? But if you were to fly over your house in a plane, what would it look like? Very small. It would look like a toy house, wouldn't it? The houses look tiny. Even the skyscrapers look tiny from an airplane. That's a different perspective. God's perspective sees everything and everybody everywhere. He sees every mouse in the basement of the slums, every pigeon in the park, every tear that falls in a child's bed, even when it's dark, and every sparrow that falls from a tree. And the Bible says that you are worth more than many sparrows. It's a wonderful thing to know that we have a Heavenly Father who cares for sparrows and He cares for us. Did you know that He knows when one hair falls out of your head? Did you know that? You girls who have long hair, when you or your mother brushes that long hair, what do you find in the brush? Quite a few hairs, probably more than you could count. But God can count those hairs. My father had a wonderful gift of being able to imitate birds. He could imitate 60 birds to absolute perfection. I wish I could do that. I can't whistle nearly as high as he could. He had a whistle for each of us children. And he whistled for my mother with the chickadee. And it went something like this, although I can't make a pure whistle like my father's. When he would open the front door, when he came home from work at night, we would hear, and my mother would answer from the kitchen, Chickadee sounds a little bit like that. And when he would travel around sometimes and give lectures in schools to school children, he would show pictures of these birds, tell a little bit about their habits and their nests, and then he would give these bird calls. And he would always end with this little poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me." The Bible tells us that children have guardian angels, angels who always behold the face of the Father. Have you got an angel? Yes. Do you ever see him? No, I don't think so. Sometimes real people treat you as though they were angels, and you want to call them angels. But usually we don't see angels. But in the Bible, there are many stories of people who saw angels. When Peter was in prison, he actually saw an angel who told him to get up and led him out of the prison. The doors of the prison opened, and the angel actually led him down the street. And Peter was thinking that he must be dreaming because he couldn't believe that the angel was real. But you know, he realized when the angel left him that there he was, out of prison on the street. And the Bible actually calls him his angel. So it was an angel specially assigned to Peter. To me, it's a wonderful thing to realize that our Heavenly Father knows how to take care of us, and He sends His angels, who are messengers, to do His bidding.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.